Bible here. Thank you, son. Thank you very much. That's your mom's, I think. In Psalm, I'm just going to read a verse. It's not part of, but in Psalm 66 and verse 16, the word says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. Hallelujah. Now, is there anyone like that here tonight that has something to say that edifies God, that worships God? Is there anybody here that has a testimony about God is good all the time?
In the radiator hose, and it's been leaking fluid. And when I got it back down to the shop, because the shop wasn't open yesterday, I had to go to work yesterday. I went to work with it anyway by faith. And they said, man, we got to take this in here and try to fix it right now. He goes, you could blow the motor. But regardless, I just did what I felt like God was telling me to do in my heart, and they fixed it. And I just thank God for that, because it could be worse. If the motor would have blown, they'd have been buying me a new motor right now. But I just thank God that he's always perfecting everything that concerns me. I thank God that I went back to work yesterday after 10 days. I looked at the boss and said, I think I'm going to need tomorrow off. She goes, well, I can schedule you the day. I said, well, thank you. God bless you. So 10 days off, and I'm already off again, right on Wednesday for church.
Oh, bless your heart. That is wonderful.
Being with us this week. We've gone through some stuff in the family, and without going into any details, but God was there.
God's still on the throne.
God was on the throne. When I got up Monday morning and we had to go do what this thing, and I woke up and it was just like this bubble of peace was around me, and God showed himself strong again today. And I just thank him. I just thank him.
Praise God, sis. We got time for one more?
I just want to thank God for change, for being faithful, and for divine appointments. I just want to thank him for everything that he's doing in my life.
That sounds good. Everybody give the Lord a hand. Three's company, four's too many. Okay. I want to share with you tonight a message entitled, What Shall I Wear Today? And before it's all over, it'll make sense. And one of the things I do every day is look in my closet and say, I wonder what I'm going to wear today. I look through everything. But anyhow, let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 in the King James language. And we're going to start there. For God, everybody say God. Now, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, God. Help me to do justice to your word tonight and bring the things out that you want brought out to your children tonight. The spirit of fear, the spirit of fear, it's an actual spirit. It's an actual presence. It's an actual person, the spirit of fear. It's a person. It's a real person. The spirit of fear. It comes to hurt you. The Bible also talks about a lying spirit. We all know what that is. A lying spirit spoke up in heaven and said, let me go and lie to so-and-so. And the Lord said, go. There's a familiar spirit. That's a spirit that knows something about you, and it tells the medium. If you're in a seance situation, it tells them. And they tell you, and I think it'd be foolish to say, well, those people are not hearing anything. No, they're hooked up with demons, some of them. And they're hearing demon spirits, demon powers. And they won't tell you the absolute truth. They'll lead you away from what the truth is. Then there's the seducing spirits. And there's lots of them, lots of different kinds. They seduce you to doing things that you should not. And the unclean spirits, a presence, a being, an actual spirit. And God has not given you that spirit. But God has given you this. But God has given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, we see that truth also conveyed in the book of Galatians. And I'll turn there in just a minute. But I want to talk to you tonight about these spirits. And if we're not careful, we will put them on. We'll wear them all day long. We'll wear them for a week, a month, a year, a lifetime. And they will hinder us. The purpose is for them to destroy us. We have to realize that. We have to do something about it. We have to know what we can do, and we have to do something about it. So the next place I'd like to look to go on with this thought is 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. It says this, there is no fear. See, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, mature love. And that's love, and every time the Lord loves you, and the Lord loves you all the time, but it's what we can receive and how much we can receive of his pure good love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect or mature in love. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God should love his brother also. So, see, it seems so easy, and we can use words. We can say we love God, we love this, and we love that. But if we hate our brother, and if there's other problems in our life, that's not coming out quite as the truth in our life. We have to realize that, because all of us can do better. This gospel was made to work in everybody's life. Absolutely made to work in everybody's life. It's not a big mystery. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to know all the words. This gospel was made to work. And when the gospel came into my life, before any word ever came into my life, the gospel just began to work in my life. He just began to change me. And I had to deal with the fact I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel good enough. I had to deal with a lot of things that I did not understand as a young Christian, that I understand now. And let me tell everybody in this room, God loves you, and he doesn't have to apologize for that. And he won't apologize for loving anybody in this room. He doesn't love you because you did perfectly right today. He loves you because he wanted to save mankind. And he sent his only begotten Son, according to John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish. He would not let him perish, but would receive everlasting life. For Jesus was not sent into this world, in verse 17, to condemn the world, but to save the world. And every day that you're here, Christ is working to save you, to help you, to bring you along. And he loves you. And he knew I used to say this, when I'd pick a pup, when I was coon hunting, I'm still coon hunting. But when I had a pup, I knew I was going to have to train that pup. I was going to have to train him that when I turned him loose, he'd get up in the back of my truck in the dog box and not go run and tree the neighbor's cat. Or like old Precious did the other night, That's Pepper. She treated Armadillo. She had no business doing that. I just looked at her, and I said, come on, you've got to be kidding me. And I just walked away, and she walked away with me. But we have to think about that. We have to think, God, I want you to know, God knew what he was getting into when he saved you. And there isn't anybody that he won't save. And he'll save everybody and anybody that will just ask him, say, I want to be born again. I want to be saved. See, Jesus became our forgiver. He forgave us initially at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my soul rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. That was just your initial. Now he's going to forgive you tonight if you have any sin. You're not obligated to sin, but believers sin at times. And he forgives us. And he knew, see, I knew what I was getting into when I bought those pups. I knew I was going to have to train them. And the Lord knows he's going to have to work with us and help us. He just knows that. And he's willing to do that. And one of the things that God has had to be able to want to do is to become our constant forgiver. In 1 John 1:9, which, by the way, was written to the church. It wasn't written to lost people. The word says this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from your sins. And the truth is this: confession helps to bring about cleansing. It's when we can deal with ourselves and realize I've got no right to look down on anybody else because I sin at times, and I'm not proud of it, but I'd be doing you a great disservice if I didn't tell you that truth. For me to stand up here and tell you sometimes I sin, sometimes I miss it, and he's always been there to forgive me, and he'll always be there to forgive you. It doesn't matter what denomination or non-denomination, interdenomination that you are, he just loves you. He cares for you. He's in your corner. He doesn't change corners when you do wrong. No, he just gets in there and he stays with you and he works with you. Amen? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect. Now, you're never going to get this unless somebody from this pulpit tells you, look, we mess up. For God's sake, let's get over it. Tonight, why do you think the word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which, by the way, is the communion chapter, it says this here, but let a person examine themselves and then take communion. And an altar, we come to the altar, we make it easier for you here, and if there's sin in your life, denial of it will not help it. If you've got a problem, you've got to at least say, I've got a problem. That's the first thing we learn in recovery. You can't just go on saying, there's nothing wrong with me, bless God. No. That confession will turn into repentance. Well, what if I have to ask over and over? I'd keep on asking. If you keep on having a problem, for gosh sakes, is there anybody in here too good for this message? I think we all fit right in here perfectly. And perfect love. See, and whose love is perfect? God's love toward us. If we just tonight, He'll cast fear out of us and anything else that's wrong with us. He wants to forgive you. He wants to change you. He wants to help you. He's not mad at you. God is not so God is not as concerned about what you did yesterday as he is what we're about to talk about tonight before the service is over, that tomorrow will be better. And I've had many better tomorrows because of God's kindness and his love, because of the all-powerful work of the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll have it up there in just a second. But you shall receive power. See, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Everybody say power. You've received power. And Satan doesn't want you to learn how to use that power for advancement in your life. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all of Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. What Satan wants you to do is not share your faith. He wants you to feel like you're not worthy to share your faith. And without the cross, we're not worthy. But the cross is here. And let me tell you something, devil. The cross is here to stay. It ain't never going away. He will be forgiving us, if necessary, in heaven. The word says this: he ever liveth, speaking of Jesus, to make intercession for those that are heirs of salvation. He's there for you. He didn't leave you at the cross and say, go and do better. He said, no, I'm going to be with you. He said, behold, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, can you lose salvation? Yeah, but it's not an easy process. I don't know very many people that have lost their salvation because of God's great love for us. And you shall receive power, see, after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power. You shall receive power, love, and a sound mind. All of those are the attributes of the Holy Ghost. And the word says, when you get saved, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Everybody, everyone, all people will receive the Holy Spirit. I'm preaching a message called, what shall I wear today? And we're not going to find out how that all ties into the very last verse. But you're going to love it. You'll use it on somebody soon, I guarantee you. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, which says this: and now abideth, this is from the love chapter, now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And those are the top three that he mentioned there. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest power on this earth is love. It's the power of love. It's God demonstrating in our lives what love looks like. And then us going along, and before we know it, we're loving other people. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the greatest attribute of the Holy Spirit, the strongest, most powerful, is love. It's love. It's not being able to cast out devils or talk in tongues or build or do this or that. It's just love, plain old love. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and verse 23. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit again. What is the Spirit made of? 9 spiritual fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control or temperance. against these things, can I tell you something? When you walk in these, there is no law against love. There is no law against meekness and self-control or goodness or faith or gentleness or patience. There is no law against those things. And if you let God, he will teach you how to walk more and more in those things. Father, help me to walk according to the nine fruit that is in the Holy Spirit. Help me, God. I need your help. I can't do it without you. In just a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to take communion with us. We're going to give you an opportunity to examine your heart and to speak and to pray what you need. Finally, this is the final verse. Drum roll. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3 says this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus said when he went into the synagogue and spoke before all the Pharisees and Sadducees. And because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's what should be happening at every communion service. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort everyone that is mourning, that is sad, that is broken, that has got problems. And to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise. Everybody say the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. How do you fight off some of these things? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to begin to not like them in your life when you commit certain things. You just have to, I don't want to do that anymore. And then you have to, I hate that. I'm not going to do that, bless God. And then the word says the number one way to fight things that are trying to get in your mind and get in your spirit is to put on praise. Put on the garment of praise. If you want to get serious with God, I challenge you, I dare you to try this. Just begin to say, thank you, Father. I worship you, Lord. I thank you. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. See, that's something that can't be stopped. The devil can't stop that. Christ is alive. He came out that tomb. That was it. The angels asked the whole world, why seek you the living among the dead? He ain't in here. He's risen, for God's sake. How do I know? My heart knows. See, I don't have, there is therefore now no condemnation. I don't have condemnation in my heart. I have things that I have to deal with, and I tell Jesus all about them. In just a moment, I'll be telling them all about them. So, what shall I wear today? Praise. I will begin to praise the Lord. When the enemy comes like a flood to accuse me and belittle me and tell me that I'm not worthy, I'm just going to start praising God. Works for me. Hallelujah. I think it'll work for you. The word says it'll work for anybody. Anybody. It'll work for you. Amen. Amen and amen. So what shall we wear today? Praise. Praise. Amen. We want to wear praise. Is that little, that's not little Gary back there, is it? Man, he's got a cowboy hat that's bigger than him. I saw it the other day, and he was wearing that cowboy hat. Did you see me waving at you when you was wearing that hat by my house? Well, I saw you. I could tell by that big white hat you had. But I'm going to just ask you now to make a place. Examine your heart. This is open communion. Nobody's forced. Examine your heart. If there's something not right, well, confess it to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. Do this in remembrance of me, the Lord said. It's time for us to examine our hearts.